for one, one for another. With the name of love above all others. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you again with us on a Friday. Could be a rebroadcast, be another day, but so good to be with you today. We've got another exceptional show, and we're going to be talking with Coach Caruso, who is the coach over at St. Thomas, the St. Thomas Tommies. They're actually doing very well right now, 7-0. We're going to be talking to Coach about the Catholic faith, about coaching, what's going on over there, along with their star running back, Jordan Roberts. He's going to be joining us also. He's at the St. John Vianney Seminary, and thinking about the priesthood, we'll be talking to him, and then Father Becker, who is the rector over at the St. John Vianney Seminary. You know, we've got some good things happening in the Archdiocese, some big things I want you to put on the calendar coming up when it relates to evangelization. One is for women, one is for men. And coming up February 6th is the big women's conference, Wine, Women in the New Evangelization. And we'll be talking with them in the weeks coming up to give you more details about that big conference. A lot of things happening there. One thing I'm really, really excited about is coming up on February 27th. We're going to be unveiling February 27th at St. Thomas University. We're going to be unveiling a very powerful men's initiative in the Archdiocese. We call it Catholic Watchmen, the Catholic Watchmen Initiative, and it is going to be powerful. We're spending a lot of time talking to pastors and leaders all over the Twin Cities right now about this initiative, and basically what we're going to be asking men to do is to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as a Catholic watchman. A watchman protects their home, they provide for their family, and they also provide leadership for their family. And there's a lot of men out there that deep down inside of their hearts, they want to provide protection, they want to give leadership to their children, but don't know exactly how to do that. We're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be launching several powerful initiatives. One of them that I'm very excited about is one called Every Child Reads the Bible. And we're going to challenge men this coming year, men all over the Archdiocese, to spend 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, reading Scripture to their children. And not just randomly reading Scripture, but reading it in chronological order, very carefully selected texts, 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, 6 months. They'll take their kids through salvation history in a very, very clear way. And using the materials that we're going to suggest, they'll be able to tell where everything Catholic, the individual items of Catholicism, spring from the story, like the Blessed Mother and the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. And we've got things like heaven, hell, sin, you know, all of these things, grace, original justice. Where does all this come from in the story? And if we don't provide a foundation for our young people to understand all things Catholic, in other words, if we don't give them an overall game plan to live life, then they're going to wander in every direction. Dads, you're kind of a coach. You really are. You're kind of a coach, and you've got a game plan, and that game plan is called Our Father's plan, our Heavenly Father's plan, and it's really up to you to rally those kids and teach them and show them that God has a plan of sheer goodness. And guess what, kids? You're part of it. And so we're going to be launching this amazing initiative, and so get the word out there. We're going to have every child, before they hit high school, is going to go through the Bible with mom or dad, and that's our goal. I was just up in Fargo this last weekend, and had a great time with Bishop Fulda, great bishop up in Fargo. And at the conference, we were talking about this idea of parents and grandparents reading the Bible to their children so that they would understand the basic foundation. And it was amazing. We had over it was estimated about 300 people standing in line wanting more information about how to do this. My friends, I think we're onto something. Our kids need to know the story, and it will come through mom and dad. So it's very exciting times. Well, anyway, that conference for the men is for the Catholic Watchmen is coming up February 27th. For the women, it is February 6th. Well, no doubt you know about the great Tommies, the St. Thomas Tommies and their football program. Every year they're contenders, and they got a great coach, great Christian man, Glenn Caruso, and he's going to be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about his faith and to talk about football, and maybe there's a relationship between coaching and your faith. Maybe there's a relationship between winning and your faith, and also how do you deal with adversity. Speaking of adversity, we're going to talk also today on the show with their star running back, Jordan Roberts, and he has faced some serious adversity in the last 3 or 4 years. We're going to talk to him about how God got a hold of his heart, and we're going to wrap up the show a little bit later on with Father Becker, who is the rector over at St. Thomas. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Coach Glenn Caruso from the St. Thomas Tommies. Don't go away. This is the Rediscover Hour.
The small cracks or chips in your windshield could turn into bigger problems soon. If your older windshield is showing its age, consider contacting the Auto Glass Installed Company in the Twin Cities. For more than 6 years, Relevant Radio listeners have relied on their hassle-free guaranteed service.
I'm Nancy Jasserson, along with my husband Michael and my daughter Brandy. We own the Auto Glass Installed Company. From your first call, we handle everything to give you a clear view of the road again with a new windshield or chip repair. We'll contact your insurance company and handle all of the paperwork, schedule the service at your convenience, at your home or office, and provide a satisfaction guarantee. We love to support Relevant Radio and have met the nicest people who heard our ads and tried our quick and complete windshield service. I hope next time you or someone you know needs a chip repair or a complete windshield, you'll try us. Call us at 763-274-0177.
Choose the Auto Glass Installed Company, 763-274-0177.
Come along, I'll walk you through the world. And we will sing a different song, yeah.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, talking about all things evangelization in this great Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Talking about great things in this archdiocese, we've got the University of St. Thomas Tommies, and I know that a lot of you follow them every year, and every year they are great contenders. This year, 7-0 going into this weekend, and they'll be up in Concordia Moorhead on Saturday, continuing to win games, and we're joined for a few minutes here in the middle of this surge to victory by Coach Caruso. Coach, good to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I know you got a few minutes because you got a busy schedule preparing for tomorrow. But we wanted to ask you just a few questions about faith and football. You have led the Tommies to an incredible record in the last few years, and they're a consistent top 20 Division III finisher. And congratulations right away for that. You've done a great job.
Thank you.
But one of your favorite sayings is, and I love it, it is family. Forget about me, I love you.
Right.
And tell me a little bit about how that became kind of a motto for you and how that plays into the whole football realm.
You know, it was strange because the first 4 years, I'm a planner, as people who know me wouldn't be surprised by that comment. But when we got here, we had a kind of a 4-year plan of what we wanted to do on the field, off the field, in the weight room, and our journey and with faith and all these types of things. And so we finished the first 4 years and we took a 2-8 program and we brought it to, 13-1, and we went to, from 206 in the country up to number 4, and that was great. But then we go on year 5 and I'm sitting here saying, shoot, I've never been somewhere this long. I don't have a 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. And so the summer of 2012, I just kept, thinking and praying about what I needed to do, what the next step for this team was. And it kind of came in a nondescript letter from a kid who used to coach for me. And at the end of it, it was assigned family, Forget About Me, I Love You. And I just thought it was, you know, a great way of having a tangible reminder of selflessness and our call to duty, not just to our team, but, you know, to so many different things. And so it became one of our mottos.
Well, Coach, I know you're a man of faith. You're at a Catholic institution, and people who know that you're a man of faith. How does your faith help you in coaching and mentoring young men?
Well, I think in general, anyone's faith should, if believed in and executed properly, should really balance them out. It should be a keel in really rough waters. And I think sometimes the faith is what keeps you buoyant in tough situations. You know, that's the belief that tomorrow will be better than today. But I also believe that sometimes when things are going really well and you're really cruising along, it helps you keep your humility. And that's one of the things that I love about it, is it gives you what you need when you need it, as long as you're willing to look for it and open up your heart. And that's what it does for me. It keeps me humble in great times, and it keeps me positive and buoyant in difficult ones. Yeah. And without it, there's no question I couldn't lead the family I'm leading, or I couldn't lead the team I'm leading without that.
That's beautiful. You talk about leadership. I remember a number of years ago, I read a study that was done, and the study asked high school students, they were asked, who's your favorite teacher? And right, there was an extremely high percentage of students who named their football coach, their basketball coach, their hockey coach. Why do you think that's the case, that so many students would say, when I look at all my teachers, I'd have to say that it was my athletic coach that maybe had the biggest impact on me?
Well, and I think you kind of have two questions there. A favorite, I don't think I'd be in the category a lot of times of favorite, but biggest impact, that's really what we should be working for. And, you know, there's a lot of four-letter words out there, but one of my least favorite is the word easy. And it's a word that we don't use in our program, and we don't use it in our Caruso household. And, you know, we look for paths and journeys that are worthy. And I think there's a big difference. And I think there's a lot of people out there today that are in leadership roles that make, and I'm not just talking teachers and coaches, I'm talking everybody out there,
right,
who's in a leadership role, starting with parents, by the way, starting with the parents, who believe that their job is to be liked or make things easy, or, as we say, prepare the path for the child. All of those, I think, are erroneous. I think the reason why so many people would answer that poll, like you just said a minute ago, is probably because in sport, we often realize that the easy path is not the worthy one. And quite often, we know that we've got to push further and harder and longer than maybe other areas of society will think are common or okay. And, you know, the story I like to tell all the time, I ask kids regularly when they come in my office and they say, I want to talk about leadership, or I'm recruiting someone, or I go out and I give a speech to someone, I'll ask a kid, I'll say, what do you think the opposite of love is? Now, what do you think they say most of the time the opposite of love is?
Probably hate.
That's right. That's what they say. And I said, well, I couldn't. You know what? I would have said the same thing when I was 17 years old. However, I think you're wrong. I could not disagree with you more. You can take it from me. You can take it from the greatest minds in the country. You could read it in John, right, in the Bible. The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference.
Exactly.
Or apathy, you know, synonymous, right? So if I wanted to, if I want to push you, I will be accountable to you. That's the reason why so many of these coaches, mm-hmm, have an effect in someone's life. If I love you, I'm not going to let you drift off into nothingness. I'm going to fight for you until the point in time comes that you're prepared to learn how to fight for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sport teaches us, and that's something, that's the reason why when everybody nowadays is saying all the things that are tough and bad with sports, that's what I like to hold on to and remind people that, guys, this is why our society needs this bastion of sports more than ever.
You know, it reminds me, I've worked with Coach Lou Holtz several times, and he tells a story about being hired at Notre Dame, and the president said, Lou, I'm hiring you as the coach, not as the leader. And Lou Holtz says, excuse me, come again? He says, I'm hiring you as the coach, not the leader. Mm-hmm. And he said, I think we got a problem here then, because I thought I was the leader. And the president said, no, the students will determine whether you're the leader. It's a great line, you know, and he was saying that, you know, a coach is a leader because he grabs the hearts of those kids. Coach Caruso, if Jesus were the coach of the Tommies, let's say he was the coach of the Tommies and you were the assistant coach.
Okay. What, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
What do you think he would remind you about every day when it comes to the game of football?
Patience. Not football, just life in general. I mean, the two are exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, my guess would be that if Jesus was my head coach, that he would probably be a fan of poetry, and Longfellow would be my guess, and he would probably remind me of a quote by Longfellow that says, "Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait." And he would tell me, you know what, number one, hold on to your wife because she's the best recruit you've ever signed. You outkicked your coverage tremendously when you married her. So that's the first thing he would remind me of. And the second thing he would remind me of is that quote, which is what my wife does a good job reminding me of, is, you know, we're often in leadership positions because we're always trying to move forward. And sometimes what I think I'm working very hard towards now is realizing that, you know, our time here is finite. And you better enjoy it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Coach, any particular devotions or saints that are near and dear to you in your life?
Well, St. Francis. My middle name is Francis, named after St. Francis of Assisi. And so the medal that I carry on my whistle every day is St. Francis medallion, which is the reason, one of the reasons why, maybe Jordan can share the story with you, why I gave that to him as well. But yeah, That's the one that I probably relate the most to.
I know you got to get going. I just have one more question for you, Coach. When playing the game of football, we don't always win, and this is true in life also. Sometimes we're faced with, you know, incredible disappointments. As a coach, as a man of God, how do you encourage players when things don't go the way they wanted to? And on the other side of that, how do you coach young men to receive victory?
Well, I think in general, I think failure has to be absorbed, and I think praise has to be deflected. And that's a basic premise that we live in. It doesn't matter whether it's a compliment, whether it's a win. And I think it's all too easy to judge yourself based off a scoreboard, and that's why our kids are so good, is because whatever happens tomorrow, we may win and we may lose. But the scoreboard is not going to dictate how we feel our effort was.
Mm-hmm.
How well we worked, how hard we worked, relative to the God-given talents that we've been allowed to have, that's how we're going to judge ourselves. And too often in sport, you look at a scoreboard and you try and figure out whether you were successful or not. Well, that's the one thing that I have a bit of a disconnect with. Is, look, I love winning. I'm the most competitive dude you will have on this radio show all year long, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to turn our focus onto our competition needs to be within ourselves. Are we the best us's that we can be? And to your point, some of the greatest lessons that we all learn are through failure. And I think sometimes we dismiss a lot of the great lessons when you have success. When failure does come, and it comes in my life every day, I fail as a father every day, I fail as a coach every day, I fail as a leader every day, right? But those are the things that if you embrace them and don't run away from it and don't point a finger like it's someone else's fault, those are the things that make us stronger tomorrow. I believe that.
Coach, we have Jordan Roberts coming in just a few minutes. What do you have to say about this outstanding
young man? Hey, Jordan. He's right here in my office.
No, okay, we got you on two lines there. What do you...
I, you know, he's just... the reason why I love doing what I'm doing where I'm doing it is because in my life, there's really only three things that I care about. And that's the truth. I care about my faith, care about my family, and I care about my football program. I don't have, you know, hobbies. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't, you know, do a lot of others. I don't hunt. I don't fish. There are three things that I will try and pour every waking moment into one of those three buckets and hopefully fill them up. And St. Thomas allows me to fill all three of those buckets up. The reason why Jordan is such an amazing young man is because in the day and age all the more devoted to style over substance, where people are telling you that more is better, he understands the theories and the ethics that we believe of less is better if those things are appropriate. To him, he can come to St. Thomas and fill up those buckets the same way I can. It's just that I'm 40 years old and he's 20, so he's two decades ahead of me already. His insight is unbelievable. His thoughtfulness and his bringing his faith into his walk every single day is amazing. And let's be honest, he can run a football pretty tough, too.
That's good. Coach Caruso, thanks for joining us today, and the best to you and your visit up in Concordia Moorhead.
I appreciate that. And after listening to Jordan, I think you'll realize why he's such an amazing young man. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. That's Coach Caruso, coach of the St. Thomas Tommies. They're in the midst of a run towards a hopefully a national championship. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and when we come back, we're going to talk with that running back, Jordan Roberts, and find out what's happened in his life that really turned him around, even in the midst of adversity. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Oh my gosh, look at this family room. It is incredible. Who did the work?
I was listening to Relevant Radio and heard an ad for Becker Building and Remodeling, and they did the job, and we love it.
Didn't you tell me you bought your car after hearing an ad on Relevant Radio?
I did. I listen all the time.
Hey, great party, great grill. Man, you must have paid a lot here.
Nope, heard about it on Relevant Radio and bought it yesterday.
And this backyard living space. Wow, let me guess.
That's right, Relevant Radio. I heard about American Landscape and they made it happen.
Does your business have the sound? If it does, people are coming in and buying your products and telling others about you. Branding, building awareness, and driving traffic. Let the professionally trained Relevant Radio marketing consultants help you give your business the sound. Send an email to businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. We'll take it from there. Sound good?
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. The Apostle Paul once said in 1 Corinthians 9:25, he said, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath." That's a good word from St. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, and it's so true that Paul says we're all kind of like athletes, huh? And we're exercising self-control. What for? Because we're going to get something that's imperishable, that beatific vision to be with God forever and ever and ever. What would life be like if you thought of yourself as an athlete today? You thought of yourself as someone who was competing, contending, someone who was running the race, so to speak. And there is a prize ahead of us. Had a great talk just a few minutes ago with Coach Caruso, coach of the Tommies football team. And this year they're doing very well, 7-0, going into Concordia Moorhead this weekend. And part of the reason for that success is their outstanding running back. And he is a seminarian at St. John Vianney Seminary under Father Michael Becker. And it's a privilege to introduce to you Jordan Roberts. How are you doing, Jordan?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
It's good. I had no idea you were sitting right next to Coach Caruso there.
Well, I was for a little bit, then I went into another room. So.
Oh, good. Hey, you guys are doing very good this year, and it's great to talk to you on the show where we talk about all things evangelization. It's got to be an excitement on the team right now, huh?
Oh, absolutely. We're very excited, and we're still dedicated to doing the little things right every day and just working hard and, you know, not trying to look too far forward into the future and focusing on, you know, being the best us as we can be every single day.
Mm-hmm. Now, you recently you did an article in the Catholic Spirit, and some people are familiar with your story. I want to review some of those points of your story. You have a very interesting story, and you have not all things have just gone your way. You've had adversity to face, but you were a running back out in South Dakota in Vermilion. How many years did you play out there first?
Well, I played 2.5 years out in South Dakota, and I redshirted my freshman year, So I was there for almost 3 years before I transferred to St. Thomas.
Oh, okay. So you came over to St. Thomas, and you're the starting running back. But back when you were in South Dakota, I'm assuming it was when you were in South Dakota, you you ran into some very difficult things with your girlfriend, your best friend. And before we talk about that, what was life for you like growing up? Because I know you had a conversion to Christ, but give us a little synopsis of growing up and your spiritual life growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up, I had a faith, but it wasn't very specific to any denomination. My parents, they took us kids to church, but it was kind of sporadic, and we never were really consistent about going to church. My parents still taught me a lot about faith and about God, and they're the ones that introduced me to it. But we were never consistent in getting into a church, and I obviously wasn't Catholic. But around my junior and senior year of high school is when I really started to get serious about my faith and, was trying to devote myself to Christ a lot more and relying on Him, especially in the game of football. And I think that's where I kind of started to get to know Christ. But up to that point, it was kind of sporadic, like I said.
So when you were growing up in South Dakota, it sounds like that your life was like a lot of ours when we were growing up, and that is, well, you heard a little bit about the faith, but there wasn't really that mm-hmm. major of a commitment. What happened in your life that really started to focus you on this relationship with Jesus in a more serious way?
Well, unfortunately, it took a great deal of pain and loss for me to really turn things around and to focus my entire life on Him. My best friend, Nicholas Bazemore, passed away. He was like a brother to me. And I grew up with the kid ever since kindergarten, and we played every sport together. We hung out every single day together. And he was an incredible athlete. He's an amazing young man, and he brought so much joy to my life. And he went to Black Hills State University in South Dakota, and I was at USD in Vermilion, and when I heard of his passing, that was probably the greatest pain that I ever experienced as a human. And that's what like Coach said earlier, when you have pain and loss like that, you can either run from your problems or you can face them. Mm-hmm. And I ran for a little bit, and then after that, I said, I'm going to face this. I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to run from this anymore. And that's where I found the Lord and had a deep faith conversion through that experience. And unfortunately, it took something that painful mm-hmm. for me to turn to Him in that way. But, that was what happened.
Well, Jordan, it reminds me of what St. John Paul II says. He says that's in our suffering more than anything else. We have the opportunity for conversion and for Christ to draw us to Himself in the midst of it. And it does have a way of either drawing us or sometimes repelling. And people can run when they suffer, and they can run away, they can self-medicate, they can blame. But you ran to Christ in the midst of that suffering. Take us a little deeper into how that conversion took place in your life.
Well, it was very shortly after his death that I got involved into a Bible study at the local Newman Center, because I did not want to be in isolation, because sitting alone in my room or doing things by myself was just not a good idea at the time. And I got involved in a Bible study at the Newman Center, and that's where I first kind of got introduced to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible study was so deep, and I just fell in love with the words the leaders were saying, and that's where I knew I had to be there, and I knew that's where I had to be to get me out of that hole. And that's what started the whole conversion, and I kept going to that Bible study week after week and getting more and more plugged in and meeting new people and meeting people that would help me grow in my faith, and creating friendships with people that, desire the same thing for me as themselves, and that's to grow in their relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring up an important point. You know, when you go through tragedy, as you did in losing your best friend, the natural thing is to be alone, you know, and kind of go off by yourself. But that also can be a recipe for disaster when you're isolated. And it seems to be a game plan of the enemy is to isolate and then pound you and destroy you. The truth is we need each other. We need the body of Christ. And that's where you started to find that hope in listening to other people. But then you even got a little bit deeper into this. You actually converted to the Catholic Church, right?
I did, yeah. So those people that I was just talking about, they encouraged me to go on to a focus conference. It's called SEEK over Christmas break, and it's about 10,000 college students go to this faith conference. And that's where my whole world got exposed to Catholicism, and I learned, you know, a lot about the faith. And that's where the spark initially started, and then I went back home after that. And I learned all about Catholicism from a priest at the Newman Center, Father Jeff Norfolk, and he basically taught me the faith one-on-one, you know, 4 to 5 times a week. He answered any questions that I had, and he basically taught me, you know, the catechism and everything that entailed, and I just fell in love with the faith, and I knew that it was the fullness of the truth, and that's where I needed to be. And that's where I wanted to be, and I made the decision to become Catholic very shortly after that.
That's beautiful. What was the response of your friends at that point?
Oh, they were all very happy for me, especially the ones in the Newman Center. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were just ecstatic about it, you know, especially coming off of losing my friend like that, to see such a conversion happen that quickly. It happened in less than a year. Everyone was really happy for me, and all the guys on the football team too, you know, really supported me and respected my decision. And, you know, I remember the day I got confirmed, you know, everyone on the team was like telling me congratulations. We had most of our football team there that day.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and it was a good witness, and, you know, they're all telling me congratulations and very happy for me. So it was a great experience.
You know, when people think of Catholic universities, whether it's the Tommies or the Johnnies or, you know, all the other teams around, all the other schools around the country, they know them as Catholic institutions, but I don't know to the depth that the people understand that there truly are strong Catholics on those teams and some good fellowship. Do you experience that on the Tommies football team?
Absolutely, yeah. There's some amazing men on our team that are very into their faith, and they desire to have a relationship with Christ, and they follow that. And, you know, every guy on our team is, you know, a good man, and mm-hmm. there's not too many guys on the team that are not stand-up guys, to be honest with you.
Sure.
And that's in large part to Coach Caruso and him developing a culture here where we hold people accountable, and our standards are really high in our locker room, and I think that's in large part due to him. But there's also a lot of guys in our locker room and on campus in general that desire to have a relationship with the Lord, and it's very evident to me.
We're talking with Jordan Roberts. He's a running back for the University of St. Thomas Tommies, and they're 7-0 going into Concordia Moorhead this weekend. You mentioned that the tragedy of losing your best friend, which is something that, you know, you don't get over right away, and you probably never quite get over it. You'll always carry your friend in your heart in some way or another. But you also had another situation that upset your life too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was with a woman for, 6-7 years, a woman I thought I was going to marry, and it ended rather ugly, and that was something that was also very, very hard to deal with. And that happened, you know, very shortly before my best friend passed away. So those two things happened in the same week. So yeah. That was pretty hard to deal with.
Amazing. Well, yeah, that's a lot of suffering to go through very, very quickly. Now, I understand that you are over at the St. John Vianney Seminary, working with Father Becker. Were you there from the beginning, or was that a decision you made after your conversion?
Oh, it was definitely after my conversion, and I transferred there midway through the year last year, so I came last December. So I've only been at St. Thomas for a semester before this semester.
Okay. So what's life like at the St. John Vianney Seminary for you?
Oh, it's amazing. It was very hard to get used to at first. It's a big adjustment. And the seminary is it's a very challenging schedule. I mean, we're up at 6 a.m. every day praying holy hour and going to Mass. And, you know, that was a lot to get used to. But I know that the Lord wouldn't have put me there if he didn't think I was ready for it. And I adjusted to it. And, you know, the brotherhood in the seminary is amazing. I wish people could understand or experience it, because every man in that building is focused on one thing, and that's growing in their relationship with Christ and helping their brothers around them grow in their relationship with Christ. And it's truly amazing. And every man there is trying to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
And we really care about each other. The priests and formators at the seminary, they really care about us, and it's really just an amazing community.
So since you have really given your life to Christ, and you're obviously now discerning priesthood, that's true, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Since you're discerning priesthood, how has your faith changed the way you play football or your attitude about football, before versus now?
Oh, it's completely different. Coming into this year, I really wanted to take that next step in bringing faith onto the football field, because I always, beforehand, I always prayed, before and after each game, but I still felt like my focus was more self-centered. And this year, I'm very, very focused on relying on Christ much more than myself on the field, and bringing all the faith and all the blessings that I receive in prayer and bringing that on the field. And I learned about a verse right before the season that really has shaped my season. It's John 15:5, the vine and branches.
Mm.
And there's a line in there that says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
And that is the theme of my football season, really. And I think about that verse every single day. And I really have bought into that. And on the field, I truly believe that, without him, all of this is for nothing. And apart from him, I can do nothing good. I can bear no fruit for him. Without him abiding in me and I in him.
Well, Jordan, we're having a great big men's conference at University of St. Thomas on February 27th, Saturday, February 27th. Love to talk to you about coming and joining us. And I think for young men to hear about athletes who have a conversion experience, a relationship with the Lord, they really look up to them. And there's a certain way that young men. They look to the older players as mentors in their life. Is that something that you feel the obligation in your life as a Christian, as an upperclassman, that you are being watched by the younger students and high school students, and that as a Christian there is a moral obligation to be that role model? It's not so much something that you choose, but something that has been given you?
Absolutely, and I look at it as a blessing, to be that role model for someone else. And that's, the position I want to be in. And I want to be able to be a good witness for other people. And I think that's why, God put me here,
mm-hmm.
put me on earth. And I embrace that fully. And I look forward to, being a good witness to others.
Well, so many people go to the Tommy's games, and no doubt a lot of people listening right now are going to be following you this weekend. Jordan, how can we pray for you, not just for the game? I'm not talking about that necessarily, but in life in general, how can we pray for you?
Please just pray that I continue to, rely on the Lord and lean on the Lord and not myself, and to continue to grow in humility. And just pray that I could balance my schedule with seminary and football. It's very challenging at times. And really just for strength to fight in those times where I don't have a lot of strength. And, just courage in those moments.
Before we let you go, any particular saints or devotions that are very special to you as a college student and a seminarian?
Absolutely. My patron saint is St. Florian. And then I also have great ties with St. Augustine and St. John David Buff and also St. Joseph and obviously Mother Mary. And those are the main saints that I...
It sounds like you got quite a few great people in your huddle there.
Yeah.
Who's quarterback?
Definitely Mother Mary.
That's fantastic. Well, Jordan, it's good talking to you, and I hope to get to know you more. And thank you for your witness and for, really exercising that confirmation grace. When we're confirmed, we become official, courageous witnesses for Jesus Christ and His church. And praise the Lord that people like you are doing it, and you can provide a witness, particularly for younger people. And we'll continue to pray for you, and we'll pray for this weekend also. It'd be nice to come back with a win. If you win this weekend, what happens after that?
Oh, thank you very much. And if we win this weekend, we'll move to 8-0, and we pretty much have a really good chance of winning the conference if we win this weekend. It'd pretty much be wrapped up, but I'm not quite sure.
So. All right. Fantastic. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Jordan Roberts, running back for the University of St. Thomas Tommies. Pray for him for discernment. And you heard what a witness. And it's so good to have guys like Jordan on the Rediscover Hour talking about their faith. And before that, Coach Caruso. If you know of a young man out there that... would like to hear these guys talk about the Lord, you can always go to archspm.org, and you can listen a little bit later on. Today, it'll be up there, the whole broadcast. And this is, right now, a big time for football in the Twin Cities. You've got the high school playoffs. We're going to be coming into the college playoffs. There's a lot of moms and dads, a lot of grandmas and grandpas that are focused. And in the middle of all of that, it's so refreshing to hear Coach Caruso and Jordan Roberts talking about their faith and the transformation that's taken place in their life in the midst of this game. So you've got the biggest game in the world, which is really life, and then you have the game of football. When we come back, we're going to talk with Father Michael Becker. He is the rector of St. John Vianney Seminary, and he'll be joining us to continue our discussion about the football program and life at St. Thomas, and particularly the minor seminary or the college seminary with... That's with Father Michael Becker. Don't go away. It is the Rediscover Hour. We still have so much more to share with you.
Rediscover.
Take me to
heaven. Hallelujah. Sister Act. The acclaimed new musical based on the smash hit film is rocking the rafters at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. The hilarious story of a disco diva, her soulful sisters, and the unexpected friendship of a lifetime. Club singer Dolores Van Cartier witnesses a crime, and the cops hide her away in a place no one would expect. A convent! Why, church has never been more exciting since Sister Mary Clarence arrived. Sister Act is a sparkling romp that'll have you dancing in the aisles to a non-stop hit parade of music by 8-time Academy Award winner Alan Menken.
Look at me, can't you see?
She's fabulous.
Get in on the act with Sister Act, the divine musical comedy, on the main stage at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. Get thee to ChanhassenDT.com for tickets today.
By my side, to be everything I'm not. I breathe deep the breath of God.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and here we are in the fall. We've got so much going on. We had a great conversation earlier with Coach Caruso, football coach at University of St. Thomas, along with Jordan, And Jordan Roberts is their star running back. And we also have the star rector from the St. John Vianney College Seminary, Father Michael Becker. Good to have you on the show again, Father.
Thank you, Jeff. Wonderful to be with you. We should call you the star interviewer.
I don't know about that. You know what? I just have a lot of fun talking to all of you guys, and it's inspiring, and I learn a lot. And we get to listen to people like St. Paul, too, who says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. You are the rector over at the St. John Vianney Seminary, and that kind of explains and gives a little insight into what you're doing with these young men, is that they're kind of going after the perishable wreath and the imperishable at the same time.
Yeah, we have seminarians who are regularly on sports teams at St. Thomas, so we also have another young man, Nicholas Johnson, who's on the swim team this year. We've had guys on the baseball team, and so a number of the sports, and we're always making compromises to do it, so they might miss a few elements of the seminary life to be part of the sports and miss a little bit of the sport to be part of the seminary life, but mm-hmm. We definitely support them in those endeavors. And I love the quote you had from Corinthians. St. Paul has a number of occurrences where he writes about really boxing or running, and run the race with perseverance that is set before us, or I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So sports can be a definite way where virtue grows, discipline, and we have there's a similar element in the spiritual life, and we celebrate that at the seminary. So as Jordan was saying, there's a high discipline with morning holy hour every day, getting up by 6 o'clock, and daily mass, of course. We're encouraging each other to strive for virtue and overcome vice. And so the sports analogies are very good, and it's wonderful to have a witness like Jordan in the seminary.
You know, Coach Caruso, who we spoke to earlier on the show, really impresses me, you know, as a man that he's very level-headed in that he, you know, he wants to win, obviously. He's a coach, and he's paid to be a coach. But he really has a grasp on the spiritual life for himself, but also how that spiritual life affects the life on the playing field. And it's exciting to see that at a Catholic university.
Yeah, it's wonderful. He's a witness with his competitiveness and success and his charisma, but he's also a witness by faith. So it's been a great blessing to the seminarians and to myself and Brother Priest on staff to work closely with Coach Caruso. We're his number one fans at the football games, the seminarians are. We have six or seven guys that are called Caruso's crew, and they paint their faces, and they bring out very large instruments like a hammer and a saw. And when one of the players gets a really good tackle, they all chant together, "Hammer! Hammer!" But Caruso, I think his greatest value, which I've heard him speak about so often, is family. And family and faith values are strong for the coach, which we really admire him. And he talks about the team as being a kind of family. His own father was his great hero who inspired him with laying down his life for his children, and many, many quotes and witness images from his memory about his father. So, and we wanted to do the same thing at SJV. We speak about it as a kind of band of brothers or a kind of spiritual family, and mm-hmm. That's what we'd like our parishes to be. You know, in the church, it's a spiritual family. And how are we encouraging each other, holding each other accountable, running the race set before us? So, yeah, Cruz was a wonderful witness in many ways.
You know, as a young man growing up, there's a lot of listeners right now that have boys and they have sons and grandsons that, you know, when they're younger, they aspire to playing in the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, hockey, whatever it might be. And the way to become a pro athlete is to go from high school to college. It's a prep program for the pros, but also in life in general, where, you know, there's young men that feel that God has called them to become a priest or religious, and there's a prep for that. We have about 3 minutes or so left. Tell me a little bit about St. John Vianney and how that is a preparation for something beyond, and who might think of that, and how do they go about checking it out?
Well, all of us, Jeff, need to discover what God's dream for us is in life. You know, we have dreams of our own, but God has a plan, too. Our Heavenly Father has the greatest adventure in mind for us. The men who come to St. John Vianney are essentially discerning that. They're saying, Heavenly Father, I want to do what your will is. Please let it be known to me. And so a number of our guys really won't become priests. They'll go on to be wonderful husbands, fathers, doctors, teachers, lawyers. But the other, you know, half of guys who will go on, they become outstanding spiritual fathers. And so the program we put in place is first and foremost spiritual. We need to be close to our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. So we want a priest. First and foremost, every lay person wants a holy priest. You know, whether he's a good administrator or a good jokester or whatever it is, the most important thing is that he's holy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beginning foundation is the regular prayer life, the intimacy with our Lord. We have spiritual direction for every man. They meet with a priest twice a month to process how they're growing in prayer, how they're growing in discernment. Then after that, we work on human formation elements too. So in SJV, every man is required to make his bed every day, and they are required to greet guests in the lobby because that is part of graciousness. That is a kind of virtue that we need in priests who will go out of themselves to welcome people into the parish. They're also working out in a balanced life, exercise, sleep, and so on. All that is part of it. And they're in fraternal groups where they're sharing their faith, and they're talking about their human formation. Are they rising up in selflessness? Are they rising up in graciousness? Are they dying to the sin and the old man to live in the new? And then academically, this pillar is also very important. So they're growing in wisdom and knowledge and how to think rightly. Today's culture, so many people were just kind of emotionally moved. Issues in the culture are all about, you know, how can we manipulate people emotionally? But what we really need to do is also form the mind so that we're clear thinkers. We can reason with the church,
sure,
and revelation of God and natural law. So they're all studying philosophy, and we're very happy about the philosophy department at St. Thomas. They're learning metaphysics and logic and all the rest. So, yeah, we spend a lot essentially on formation. It's formation of the human person, of the spiritual person, of the mind.
Sounds like you're really training them up. It's a very holistic, in a good sense of that word, preparation. Father, we got about 30 seconds left. Do you have any discernment activities coming up for families that might want to tell their young men about?
We have a Vianney visit on the third weekend of November. It starts Thursday evening at about 5 and ends Saturday at lunchtime. We have a Vianney visit each fall and each spring, and we have 60 men, 16 years of age up to 28, who will come and visit us, who might look at the seminary. So we also have Team Viennese, which is just a one-night Thursday evening where local kids can come. So I would just ask everybody to please pray for our seminarians and know that, be proud. We have two seminaries in the Archdiocese, a major seminary, St. Paul Seminary, doing very well, and St. John Vianney College Seminary, which is the largest college seminary in the United States. So
wow.
Please pray for us, and we appreciate any support.
Congratulations. And quickly, the website?
Well, if you just type in at Vianney.net, stjohnvianney.net, you'll find it.
Super. Thanks for joining us, Father.
All right. Thank you. God bless you,
Appreciate
Jeff.
It. It's Father Michael Becker. A lot going on over at St. Thomas with the football and with the seminarians. And, Paul, we've got other things going on in the Archdiocese,
too.
Well,
it's a big month coming up. November is National Adoption Month. In celebration of the gift of adoption, several parishes are hosting special adoption masses. Our Lady of Grace in Edina, Saturday, November 14th, 5:15 Vigil Mass. Annunciation, Minneapolis, Saturday and Sunday, November 14th and 15th. All weekend masses. St. John Neumann, Egan, Saturday, November 21st, 5 p.m. Vigil Mass, and Nativity of Mary in Bloomington, Saturday and Sunday, November 21st and 22nd, all weekend masses.
A Birth Mothers Retreat in honor and recognition for birth mothers is taking place at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Edina on November 14th from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join with other women who made the heroic choice to give their baby to another family to raise. The cost is $15, includes breakfast. For more information, call Melissa Miller at 952-929-3777. or 3317, extension 111. I'll give you that again. That's 952-929-3317, extension 111.
From the mountains of the Cedars of Lebanon to the Maronite Mission of Northeast Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, the relics of St. Charbel will be available for veneration at St. Marin Church in Minneapolis Wednesday, November 4th, 7th, and 8th, and Holy Family Maronite Church in St. Paul, November 5th and 6th. For more information, call Holy Family Maronite Church, 651-291-1116, or visit HolyFamilyMaroniteChurch.org.
Curatio Apostolate is holding a retreat designed especially for healthcare professionals with the theme of miracles of healing and the mystery of hope. This weekend is being held November 6th through 8th at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. The retreat will be led by Father Jonah Pollack, Associate Director of the Dominican Friars Healthcare Ministry of New York. For more questions, call Marianne at 612-669-4221. Or you can go to their website, www.curatioapostolate.com. Curatio is C-U-R-A-T-I-O.
And Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville is hosting the annual craft fair Saturday, November 7th and Sunday, November 8th. Over 75 crafters on hand. More information at mmotc.org. We are taking a week off next week.
We are. We are going to be taking a week off next week. I believe that Relevant Radio is having a
pledge drive.
A pledge drive. So get the wallets out and start supporting Relevant Radio.
Amen.
Well, it's very good to be with you today, and we do pray that God will use you in a powerful way today as a witness. Remember, He's walking with you. You're a disciple. He's going to give you opportunities. We'll talk to you next time.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.